For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Keith, you ready to yell about a two-point conversion?
I am ready. I'm so ready. I was born ready for this.
I know you are.
I've been fired up about this for a long time.
I heard you last night.
Yeah, you were fired up
about this last night at the Bruins game.
Brag. We were at the Bruins game. That's right.
Yeah. Humble brag.
By the way, I think it was Kevin in the Twitch chat DM'd me, and he was like, he's like, I thought I saw you guys, but you're a lot taller in person than I thought. So he's like, I didn't go up to you. I didn't think it was you.
Kevin,
I was like,
yeah, that's us. Right there?
You and me, stilts. You see a couple of tall dudes walking down the garden. That's us.
You tweeted out a picture of the two of us.
Yeah.
There at Jones and Keefe on Twitter and Instagram.
Pretty good. But that was
my neck wouldn't quit. It was just
a long neck.
I thought I had a little Burton Davis Hanks. Mills thing going. I have a Burton Hanks thing going on in that picture.
Not bad.
And so anyway, at the Bruins game though, you're all fired up.
I was fired up.
Kevin, you probably heard him a couple sections over yelling about this at the Bruins.
Unbelievable final play by Drake May. Great final drive to get all the way down there. It looked like they were dead. The offense had been terrible since the one drive to start the second half. There wasn't a lot going on. That crazy play by Drake May. And even as they're going down, you're like, this game, for the most part, has been a bit of a mess.
It wasn't a great watch.
No. Two of the worst teams in the NFL proving it right in front of our eyes. And you're saying, if they score here, why go to overtime? Why take your chances in overtime? Go for two. And I'm not of the belief, hey, go for two every single time in that situation. But look at all the particulars. You're a horrible team. They're a horrible team. You're on the road. You needed a Houdini play to get a touchdown at the very end. So you really want to go to overtime, take your chances. Maybe you get the ball to start. Maybe you don't. You either got to play defense or you got to have a long drive. Because the other part of this, shout out once again to Marcus Jones. Best punt return guy in the league. Sets you up short field.
Guy's a legitimate weapon.
Yes.
Don't punt it to him.
Why teams punt it to him is insane. So they should have they should have gone for two. 2 yards. 2 yards, and you win the game. And they're like, oh, well, that would have taken some of the momentum out of the touchdown. No, it didn't. You ended up losing the game anyway. This was the call. They should have gone for two, put the ball in Drake May's hands, give him an option to either run, pass, whatever. Let Drake May make a great play. Because, yeah, he made a great play in a loss. You could have capped it off back-to-back great plays, gotten a win, would have been a fourth-quarter comeback drive for Drake May, all that stuff. I don't know why. You seem to be really scared if you don't think you can get 2 points against Tennessee. That I think is worse than saying, hey, really, we're going to go to overtime and see what happens there.
So I agree. It's the play becomes a footnote instead of like a moment that will live on for Drake May. Yeah. You didn't win the game.
Nope. Lost.
If you cap off that touchdown with a 2-point conversion and you walk it off in Nashville, granted against a bad Titans team.
Yeah, whatever. You're bad. They're bad. Fine.
We feel so differently about that. And now you've won two games in a row and it feels like you're building towards something. Instead, again, it's a phenomenal play, but it comes in a loss. It's a footnote on the game. So you guys can talk about this all day long, 617-779-7937. I know a lot of you agree with Rich Keefe. The Greg Hill Show did a poll this morning. 70% of you and counting think you should have gone for two at the end of the game, which I do agree with, and I'll explain my thoughts on it coming up. Jerod Mayo, by the way, should be feeling the pressure. Another head coach just got fired.
Dennis Allen.
My guy, Dennis Allen.
We just missed.
You're done.
Robert Saleh was the first coach fired. Yeah. Nick, we were right around it with Dennis Allen. So another
hot start too, weren't they 2-0?
They started 2-0 and they were scoring
points.
A million
they scored
points.
On 15 straight points. Drives to open the season. I don't think they scored since.
Yeah, today's a big day because you had the Raiders fired their offensive coordinator.
Yep, Luke Getsy.
Luke Getsy,
who the Patriots interviewed.
Oh, you got a sniff.
That was one of their picks.
Yeah, sure did. He's one of their guys.
One of the guys who said no.
He's like,
one of the guys who's like, I couldn't possibly go there. I'm going to go to the Raiders and get fired.
So he's out. Dennis Allen's out.
Yeah.
And so it should be hot seat city.
And the only reason I bring the Dennis Allen thing up is because we were talking about odds to fire Jerod Mayo on Friday last week. Doug Peterson had the heaviest odds. Mayo was second.
And then Allen was third.
Now a guy further down, third on the depth chart.
Pretty wild.
In terms of coaching firings or the odds on it from BetAG is now out. So add that to the list. Meanwhile, Jerod Mayo was on the Greg Hill Show this morning. He was asked about his decision to not go for two at the end of the game because he
in quotes, decision.
Well, true. He acknowledged Keith after the game. It was a very legitimate question.
Great question.
Ask about going for two.
I don't know.
I don't want to talk about that right now. And so what? Here's what he said today on WEEI with the Greg Hill Show.
What was the thought process in not going for two, and how was that executed? Is it you're saying on the splitter, we're going for the extra point? Is there a conversation while the drive's unfolding? Should you score, we have a two-point play ready to go. How did that all unfold?
We always stay ahead of the game, and that conversation happened long before the 12-second play.
Wednesday.
And again, you know, I thought that was the best thing to do for our team. And honestly, you know, either way, unless you execute the play, you'll be criticized. Like, we go for two and we don't get it a couple games ago, and this time we kicked the extra point. And
these are different.
Good. I felt like that was the right thing to do. Okay, so it's not like I'm stuck anyway. I think, you know, there's a combination of things that go into that decision, and ultimately it's my decision. That's what I decided to do.
Okay, so
these are very different. Not all two-point conversions are the same.
What do you think he was talking about? Because I heard that driving in.
So they went for two a couple weeks ago.
Jacksonville is what he's talking
about,
right?
Okay. And so you and I didn't like it for a different reason, because we're more of the sort of, in that situation, you're down two scores, sort of extend the game, you kick the extra point. Then at 8:22, I believe, left in the fourth quarter, you're now down eight. So if you get a stop, you get the ball back, still one possession. You go for two, miss it, you're down nine. We all talked about last week. Now, there is sort of an analytical thing that sort of backs that and blah, blah, blah. And there's two sides, whatever. But you didn't get it. We weren't necessarily criticizing the fact that you didn't get it, more so the decision. Just like now, I'm criticizing the decision. Now, I even went on record.
He's not wrong, though. Like, he will get criticism either way if it's wrong. Like, duh. Like, if the play doesn't work, then you're going to get criticism. But
it's part of the job. But
right,
I also
but making
think,
the analogy to the Jacksonville game, those are not right, because I didn't want them to go for two there. I wanted them to go for two yesterday.
Completely different. This is literally for the win.
Right.
This is for the win with no time left.
The other one, you would have extended the game by not going for it.
Yeah, no, the other one, it made more sense in my mind, and it would have been more of a momentum thing to kick the extra point. Now you reward that drive. You're like, hey, that drive, now we're one score down. Mm-hmm. Instead, you go for two, get stuffed, and now you're like, we still need two possessions. These are apples to orange. The only thing the same about it is it's a two-point play. So if it gets stuffed, would he have gotten criticism? Sure. Not everybody agrees with it. So I'm sure there are some people out there that are like, take the point and win it in overtime.
And we might have
How much confidence do you have they're going to win it in overtime? This isn't Tom Brady where you're like, get him the ball, he's going to march down the field and win.
No. And we might have criticized the play call. Like, I don't have to like the play call, but I think we would have applauded the decision to go for two.
100%. I can't speak for everybody, but I would have said great decision. Then from there, if they get stuffed, we say, hey, Alex Van Pelt, why did you just run the ball into the guard?
Or if it's another whip route to Jalen Polk and he can't stay on his feet down by the goal line.
Yeah, yeah.
I might have an issue with the play call, but
the decision
to go for it, I like to think we would applaud. By the way, just so it's worth mentioning, the analytics on the play do back their decision yesterday. Win probability by kicking the PAT, which Joey Sly almost missed, 48.2%.
Yeah, he did.
Win probability on the two-point attempt, 46%. So you have better odds of winning the game. I guess in a vacuum, you have better odds. It's analytically backed. Whose decision do you think it was to go for two? Because Mayo said, we have these conversations. It's well thought out. It was well before the 12-second play.
Yeah, yeah.
Whose decision do you think was it to go for two yesterday?
I do, or to not go for two.
I'm sorry, to not go for two. That decision,
yeah,
whose
yeah,
decision
yeah.
was it?
I think Mayo's. Now,
I don't.
Who do you think it was then?
I think it's the guy in his ear. If it's Evan Rothstein, if it's Ben McAdoo, I think it's Evan Rothstein.
So, like, the stat guy?
Yes.
Being like, hey, stats say.
I bet those numbers that Reese just gave you, this scenario, it's a 48% chance we win if we kick. So, kick.
But if you're right, and doesn't Mayo have the opportunity to say, no, we're
to overrule it.
Like,
yes.
Hey, I appreciate your numbers,
yes.
But you're not the head coach.
Yes.
But he doesn't feel strongly enough to argue.
Yes.
In that case, fine.
I think he has the autonomy to do it, but I think the voice in his head, the voice in the headset, rather, is telling him, here are the analytics. And
he doesn't have a strong enough argument.
He just goes, the numbers are the numbers, so let's go with it. These are the numbers, so let's go with it.
Keefspiracy.
Yeah.
This is going to... So I don't think Mayo did a good job yesterday with that. But Keefspiracy,
mm-hmm.
maybe he just has such little faith in Alex Van Pelt to draw up a play for 2 yards.
I like it.
No, I'm serious.
Yeah.
He's just like, I don't think he can do it. I'll take my chances. And maybe we get a big return or... Maybe for some reason he still has faith in his defense or something like that. He's like, we'll win it that way. But no, I just think it would have meant more to the team to be like, hey, we're going all. You see this every once in a while in college. You'll see like college teams do this.
Okay.
There are some pro teams that do it too. That are like, hey, we're going for two. Like, we're going to win it right now. We're on the road. We're a bad team. Worst thing that happens, we lose another game. We've lost every game just about this year anyway. But what a sign to your team, I think, to say, hey, we're going for it. Hey, Alex Van Pelt, even. Like, not your best
We've
day.
We've got Drake
You
May.
Call this one play
we
right
believe
now?
In you. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So I think there's a tangible
kick the
thing
point.
There, too.
Oh, lame.
Okay, and I just think when you're this bad, you go for the win because what's the difference?
What's
you
the harm?
Try to get the win. And if you lose, oh, well, you lost anyway. And we know that now.
But you went down swinging. This is
that.
Literally the difference between, like, taking the third strike or swinging at
but,
it.
Right, but I just think if you're the Patriots of old, you're going to be a 10-win team and a playoff team, you kick the extra point, you go to overtime. Yeah. That's not what you are. You're a dog crap team. So you try to get the win right then and there. And if you don't get it, there probably will be blowback. Yeah. I would applaud the decision of going for it in that scenario. I hated the decision in Jacksonville. I don't think they are comparable.
They're not.
But he's using that as cover. And I'll be honest, I don't think it was Jerod Mayo's call yesterday. That's not to let him off the hook.
Do you believe him that he was 12 plays ahead?
No. Definitely
like they knew for sure if they went down, they're going to kick the point.
I heard Chris Curtis this morning, and I think he's right. I don't think they had a good idea what they were doing that whole drive. It was not that different than the Jets the week before, where the Jets are getting a delay a game on the two-point conversion. You should have known the whole time you're going for two.
No, it was embarrassing for them.
How do you get a delay a game? This was like that. I don't know how committed they looked to going for two, or kicking, rather, and not going for two at the end of the game.
I feel like you have to be pretty confident in one side of the ball to just tie it and go to overtime, meaning you're like, hey, we have a great defense. Mm-hmm. They're going to lock them down, and hell, they might even score. Or like you have the Tom Brady, Patrick Mahomes effect where you're like, as soon as we get the ball, we're going to win.
Mm-hmm.
But you put it in the hands of the toss, then the way the whole thing plays out, they just milk clock for the longest time.
7.5 minutes or whatever.
They
was,
just took like most of the time, like 80% of the overtime. And to your credit, you did force a field goal, so you had like a chance, but I mean, at that point, the game is pretty much over. So you're leaving it in the hands. Because I know Drake May, after the game, was talking about how, like, A, you know, our defense was fresh. And I'm not going to pile on Drake May. I think he's just trying to be whatever the team does is the right thing kind of guy.
Yeah.
And
good soldier.
But the defense is fresh. Well, what if you guys get the ball? But the defense is still on the sideline. Like, so rather than 2 yards, you now take a tired offense and you got to go 70 yards.
Uh-huh.
Like, please, 2 yards. Yeah. If you don't think you can get 2 yards, I think it says a lot more about your team than anything else.
And so I'm with you, Keith. I'm with the majority voting in that Greg Hill Show poll. 70% think they should have gone for two to win that game at the end of regulation. How do you feel about it? 617-779-7937. I'm curious to hear from the 30% that disagree with both of us and the majority of you out there.
I wonder if those are just AVP
could be
haters. And they're just like, it's not going to draw anything up.
It could be. Yeah. So I'd like to hear your logic on that. You can give us a call at 617-779-7937. Text at 37937 on Twitter and Instagram. You can check out Keefe and I, looking very handsome at the Bruins game last night, at Jones and Keefe. Watch along on twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. You can also chat there. Healthy, lively chat going on Twitch. And you can also watch on YouTube. Just subscribe to WEEI. What did you think of Drake May yesterday, Keefe? I mean, the final play was, final play of regulation, rather, was unbelievable. 12 seconds scrambling around, backyard play, skies it up to Ramondre Stevenson. Underrated part of that play is he makes a great catch on that play. But Drake May makes an unbelievable play to force overtime. He also was 95, 96% of their offense in terms of yardage yesterday. What'd you tell me, 301 out of 315?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
So 96% of their offense. He's running for almost 100 yards.
Yeah.
He's doing everything offensively. But he's also making mistakes, including a mistake that lost it in overtime. The final pick, which was a brutal play. I thought the fumble was really bad. I thought his first interception was really bad. So it was a mixed bag yesterday out of Drake May. What did you think of his performance on balance?
I actually thought he was very good. I think overall, I think he was very good. I think part of it is he, and yesterday was a great example of, has nothing to work with. His play caller is bad. His receivers are bad. His offensive line is average at the very best, but probably also bad. His Ramondre Stevenson, I think, is good, but because of the play calling and the line, he runs for 16 yards on 10 carries. The guy's got nothing going with him. He ends up turning the ball over three times. The last one, they didn't have a ton of time anyway. I also think Kayshon Booty quit on the play.
Yeah,
I think he looked really bad. Now, not that that's a touchdown, but maybe it's not a pick. Maybe Booty plays defense and you just live to play one more down. So, but still, the fumble one, I would have liked to see him get away. Like, he's going to throw picks. He needs to take chances. He doesn't have great receivers. They're not always going to be wide open. So, he's going to throw some picks. The fumble is the one that I would like him, to have back the most and sort of see what would have happened if he was able to hold on to the ball there. But I thought he was very good. I think he was running a lot and he took some big hits. But I think he also is looking around being like, what else are we going to do? How are we going to move the ball if it's not me doing it? So I thought overall, understanding that there were turnovers there, I thought he was very good.
Okay. Real quick, since you mentioned it, what did you think of the running around yesterday? Did that surprise you at all? Because he ran a lot. I did not want them to limit him and limit his legs at all. He ran a lot more than I expected.
There was
yesterday.
At least two times where I think he even thought of sliding and then like hesitated and then didn't and then got kind of popped a little bit, which I'm fine with him running. You and I were talking about this last week, even with a concussion. Like, unfortunately, that won't be the last concussion he gets in his career. It's just the nature of the game. But slide, maybe get out of bounds if you can. He was trying to pick up every yard possible. So this is, it's funny because a lot of the commentary from Mayo and Van Pelt a week ago was like, oh, he's got to protect himself, got to protect himself, which weirdly enough, he did protect himself in the game he got hurt. Sure. And then this game is a little bit more reckless. Also, I don't know if his helmet fits. Didn't his helmet pop like his chin strap up by his nose all the time?
That's
like,
true.
I mean, that doesn't look right. For a guy coming off a concussion, you might want to make sure the equipment fits. But no, he was aggressive running, which I don't mind. I just would have maybe on two of them like slid right before he got hit.
Look, I like him running. And to me, yesterday is proof of the people, oh, can't have him run. He's going
to
get
no,
hurt.
No, you need him to run.
He was awesome running the ball yesterday. He has pretty good instincts, I think, on it. The fumble aside, I think he has pretty good instincts on when to go and when not to. I think largely he's scanning down the field. He's not flushed out of the pocket and looking panic and dropping his eyes. I think largely he keeps his eyes up. He's looking to throw first, and then he takes the yards that are there. I love that about his game. I was shocked he ran as much as he did. I was shocked he ran with such reckless abandon as he did early in the game, fresh off a concussion. But I like that about him. So that I had no problem with. On balance, I didn't love his day yesterday.
No.
The final play was spectacular. I mean, the final play of regulation was spectacular. I'm sorry, the final play of regulation.
Yeah, yeah.
But the turnovers were bad. He barely cracked 200 yards, Keith, on 41 attempts.
Look who he's got.
I understand look who he's got.
And
but
look who's calling the plays.
I get that. But look who's calling the plays for Jacoby Brissett. Look who Jacoby Brissett has. And Jacoby Brissett won last week.
Jacoby Brissett's throwing for like 120
I get
yards.
It. And Jacoby Brissett beat the Bengals. And so at a certain point, I do have to say, why isn't Drake winning these games? I know he gets credit for the Jets win. But I took issue with this comment in a Mark Daniels story at Mass Live, and it's from Michael Jordan.
Nice.
The other Michael
Jordan,
the offensive lineman.
I thought you were talking about MJ.
Who says, Drake's an effing winner. And it's like, well, no, a winner wins the game. Like,
let's not go crazy.
Not
here.
To be a douche about it, but a winner wins the game. I mean, I just, that's not the adjective I would use for Drake May right now in his career.
You could say gamer.
Yeah.
You could say baller.
Something.
Gamer.
Yeah. Winner to me is not, that's not the word I would use to describe him right now. This used to piss me off with Marcus Smart. Oh, he makes winning plays. It's like the guy's never won squat.
I don't know about that.
So that just starts to bother me. And it's just at a certain point, I need Drake May, as phenomenal as that play was.
Yeah, yeah.
I need him to start winning some games and not making the literal play that lost them the game in overtime.
I get it.
By the way, he was outplayed by Mason Rudolph on the other side, which I have an issue with because that guy's a journeyman's journeyman.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if he was outplayed. I mean, he lost the game to him, but if you add Drake May's like rushing yards to the game, like I think he was the better quarterback on the field. It was probably closer than it should have been. I think my big takeaway though over these 3 weeks is that I was really hopeful that Drake May was good. Like, and you can say anybody coming out of college, like, oh, I like this prospect, I think he's going to be good. And then they play and you're like, well, maybe next week. Even with some of the turnovers and some of the mistakes, he's good. Like, he is not the problem. Like, I sort of jokingly on Twitter yesterday was like, next year's to-do list for the Patriots. Like, the only thing checked off was quarterback and punter, but that was before he sucked. No. Everyone's coming at me now.
You may want to take that back.
I do take it back now. But that was before the game, or that was early in the game, so that was the only other thing. But, no, it feels like you have the one guy. And, yeah, he needs to clean up mistakes. The guy's started three games. He's one of the youngest players in the NFL. Like,
yeah,
that's fine.
Look, no. I love Drake May.
Yeah,
I wanted him number one in the draft. He was the quarterback I wanted for the Patriots. So this is, and I'm not dumping on him as a player, but let's just be real about what yesterday was. He threw a million passes. He barely cracked 200 yards. He had brutal turnovers in the game, and they lost. So let's just be real about it. That's all I'm saying. He made a spectacular game, play to force overtime, which was great. And there are definite flashes, and I'm happy with the overall trajectory. I'm happy with the pick. He's not a bust. He doesn't suck. Just yesterday, I didn't love his game. I felt like he was a contributor in a bad way to the loss. And so you guys can jump in on that. How do you feel about Drake May, his performance yesterday? 617-779-7937. Also, did you want the Patriots to go for two? at the end of regulation. I know a lot of you did.
Yes,
I did. We can hear from you. I know Keith did.
Yes, I did.
I'm also very curious to hear from the people who did not want to go for two. I'd like to hear your logic on that. So we'll get into it. We'll also get into the Patriots. Are they putting too much on Drake May's plate? Certainly seems that way. We'll do that right after.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Trending with Billy Laney. Patriots Monday here on WEEI. It's Jones and Keith. Pats lose 20-17 in overtime yesterday. Drake May with a phenomenal play at the end of regulation. Mixed bag on the day, I thought, for Drake May. A lot of you disagree. Patriots did not go for two after that play. Decided to go for overtime and just got run all over in overtime like a soft team would.
Yeah, like the opening drive. That opening drive was insane.
The opening drive.
Is Tennessee the greatest offense of all time?
Of the game and the opening drive of overtime, both were just embarrassing for the Pats.
But it was also weird. I mean, credit the Patriots, I guess, for making adjustments. And I don't know what Tennessee was doing. But that first drive, you're like, they're never going to stop them. Like, they're not going to stop them once. They did whatever they
Nick
wanted.
Nick Vanette
looks
like
pass, run, pass, yeah. Whatever you want. Everybody just like, first down, touchdown. And you're like, holy smokes. Like, I thought the Titans were bad. It's like, oh, yeah, no, they are. They are really bad.
It was a brutal game.
But then, yeah, overtime, something clicked in on them again, and they just moved down the field. Yeah, I'm still so bitter that they didn't just go for two. What a moment that could have been. Like, sort of the confidence that it sends to your entire team that, like, hey, we're going for it. And then even if you don't get it, and I know Mayo's like, well, no, you guys would be mad if we didn't get it. But even if you don't get it, I think inside the locker room, they're like,
they believe in us.
We put it on you 2 yards for the game. We're not putting the defense back out there again. The defense got the stop prior to. Mm-hmm. The special teams got the great return. So it would have been a complete team game. You have the final drive. Obviously, the play that everybody's talking about with Drake May finding Stevenson. So you have all of that. And rather than in that moment say, we got this 2 yards to win the game, you say, nope, let's kick the point and see what happens in overtime.
Yeah.
Awful.
So I didn't like that call either. I think you do feel more strongly about it than I do, but I think they should have gone for two. At the end of regulation, you hear Bourne talking about it's the longest play he's ever been a part of.
Yeah.
So it was 12 seconds.
It was
like
11
and change. Drake is scrambling
12
around.
12 seconds, decent time. You get a lot done in 12 seconds.
You see, a lot. Ramondre Stevenson, Keith.
Yeah.
Ran for 51 yards on the play.
Insane.
Just like running around. 51 yards.
That's a lot.
Is what Next Gen had him ticketed for. And so just an unbelievable play, backyard play. And to build off that, you have all the momentum. You go for two there. You can end the game. I'm with you. They should have done it. I know most of you agree. And so let's get to your phone calls on this. 617-779-7937. Sorry, Keith. I'm pulling over
the mouse.
The call screen mouse over here. Because
Here we go. Now we're lined up.
Yeah. No. Where were they? They were in Foxborough today on a Patriots Monday. Let's go to John in Rhode Island. All fired up. Get us started today, John.
Hey, guys, love the show.
Thank you.
I've been hesitant to criticize Gerard Mayo because he is a new coach. I know he's going to take his lumps. But he called his team soft last week. He made a soft coaching decision yesterday by not going for two. That's when you do it. When the game is in doubt, the team thinks they won, you take their throat and you rip it out of them. And everyone says, like, analytics, 48, 46%. I'm a simple man. If you make the two-point conversion, you have 100% chance of winning.
That is true.
Well, John, good stuff. It is a soft move to play for overtime.
Yeah, big time.
It might be the analytically sound decision, but for a guy who's calling his team soft,
yeah,
that is the soft decision.
It used to be the old adage is like you play for the tie at home and you play to win on the road. Like, and maybe that's been tossed out with all the computers and all the nerds working on it now, but yeah, I just think it was all lined up for you.
That analytics should not be one size fits all, paint by numbers.
It shouldn't be that.
You're a sucky team
playing
another sucky team. The wins at the end of the day don't matter for like playoff purposes. Going for the win means more to the locker room and the message it sends. And I've heard others bring this up, Keith. I think it's a good point. I mean, Dan Campbell, Gerard Mayo, you want to be Dan Campbell. Dan Campbell started poorly in Detroit. You referenced
Dan Campbell all
the time. Dan Campbell did go for two a lot.
Yeah.
A lot early on and created a culture in Detroit. And if you're trying to do what Dan Campbell's doing and you're going to reference Dan Campbell, why don't you act like Dan Campbell and do what he would have done at the end of the game, which is if he had a terrible team, go for the win.
Only excuse I give Mayo in this is he doesn't have
No faith
Ben
in Van
Johnson.
Pelt. Yeah, yeah, right.
Dan Campbell has Ben Johnson.
Yeah,
who
I
is
feel
throwing
about,
stuff to the right tackle.
I would feel better about going for two with Ben Johnson.
He's
that's
got
true.
Like 10 guys that are scoring touchdowns
but
every
you
week.
Also have Drake May, who just pulled a play out of his ass.
Correct.
That wasn't Alex Van Pelt's play. That was Drake May backyard running around making a play. And you have the best, I think the best player on the field yesterday, or at least
Drake
the most
May,
talented player on the field.
Yeah.
So to me, I absolutely would have gone for it there. And I think it was the right decision to go for it there. And for a guy to call out his team for being soft and then make a soft decision, that is inconsistent, I would say. We'll ask Hunter Henry about this. He joins us about an hour from now on a Patriots Monday. We'll ask Christian Gonzalez about it as well. Always very chatty.
Yeah.
We'll talk to him shortly afternoon. So we'll get some players' thoughts on not going for two. Jerod Mayo clarified the decision kind of earlier today. I still don't really think it was his call. Like, ultimately, he's the head coach. He can overrule whatever he's being told on the headset. I think this is a problem, by the way. I'm not absolving Jerod Mayo.
He doesn't feel strongly enough about it, you think?
Yeah, yeah. I just think Jerod just, the numbers are the numbers. And so if Evan Rothstein or Ben McAdoo or whoever says this, I can defend it after the game and say the analytics told me to do it. I can blame somebody else for it. I think it's a problem, by the way. I think it's a problem that Jerod Mayo isn't having a feel for the game and an instinct on it and being a head coach. He's just listening to some dork on his headset. I have a problem with that. I think that's a bad reflection on Mayo. But I think he's being told what to do in his headset, and he just goes along with it.
Yeah, no, that could be. I mean, but he should overrule.
Oh, he absolutely should. You want, like, again, I'm sure there's an analytics guy in Detroit. Dan Campbell wants to go for it.
Mm-hmm.
Jay is in North Carolina. Go ahead, Jay.
Hey, guys. Look, Drake May knows how to extend the play like Ben Roethlisberger, but that's because he has to, because the offensive line ain't protecting him. And I'll give a disclaimer right now. I think Drake May is going to go and fit in the shoes of Brock Purdy. Not that the Patriots have the lineup that the San Francisco 49ers have. But the thing is, Drake May is the franchise. He is. You've got to protect. Have Kraft shell out for a couple of wide receivers and pass rusher and fix that offensive line. Thanks, guys.
Okay, well, like,
I hope he's not Brock Purdy. I hope he's Josh Allen.
Yeah, I would like him to be better than Brock Purdy. I like Brock Purdy. I'd like him to be better
Purdy's
than Brock Purdy.
Fine, yeah. But he also, to the caller's point, has all pros at every position. Josh Allen doesn't, and Drake May certainly doesn't. His roster is the pits, and, you know, the offensive line, I think, has gotten better than it was at the beginning of the season. It's by no means a strength. It's by no means good. But they ran the ball yesterday, not counting Drake May, 12 times for 15 yards. Like, that's insane.
Yeah.
And Ramondre is good.
And the Titans do have a good run defense, but I would expect more than 15 yards on 12
carries. No, and it was trending the other way. The last 2 weeks, I know they played some good teams, but the last 2 weeks they were giving up more rushing yards or giving up rushing touchdowns and things like that. So it started to come back down to earth a little bit because they started the year pretty good. But that's awful. So you're getting every time you hand the ball off, it's 2nd and 9, 2nd and 10, or whatever it was. And it felt like Alex Van Pelt kept being like, well, maybe they won't see a run coming. It's like, no, they're on it.
Yeah.
They're on it.
Mix in a throw. They're on first
down. Mix in a throw. And then a lot of the throws, you're just having them pop Douglas at like the 1 yard down the field.
Right.
Or like a lateral. Yeah, the play calling is not the most imaginative.
No, it's not. We'll get more into Alex Van Pelt coming up. I do agree big picture. Like, they have a lot of roster moves they got to make. And maybe they can address some of them by the trade deadline tomorrow. Maybe. But I don't think a lot of help is coming in by Tuesday. And that's an off-season discussion. You know, how do they upgrade the offensive line? How do they upgrade the skill position players? I think we all can see they need to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But in the meantime, I still needed more yesterday out of Drake May. And here's a text, 37937. Jones, you say that, here you go. Big fan of the show, boys.
Nice.
Nice.
Good start. We'll read it.
But Jones,
yeah,
May accounted for 301 of the 316 total yards yesterday. What else do you want him to do? I would like him to not huck it up in overtime and just give the Titans the game at the
guy's
end.
Guy's trying to make a play. He made a great play. You reward. He did a hell of a job at the end of regulation.
I would like him to not fumble where he's – and I thought that was a careless fumble. I didn't like his first pick either. So, look, I'm okay with the guy making plays out there, and I'm going to live with some turnovers. But not ones that end the game and lose them the game. I'm not okay with that kind of turnover, and I'm not okay with three. I'm okay with a turnover here and there. The guy's trying to make a play. You can't be turning it over three times a week. And I know he hasn't been doing that, but he turned it over a bunch in his first start against Houston. And he turned it over a bunch yesterday. And oh, by the way, yes, he did have a big percentage of their yards. Tennessee's also terrible. Like at some point, that needs to be a part of the discussion.
They stopped the run, though. They stopped the running backs.
But
that's
for sure. That is a terrible team. I expect we both had the Patriots on the money line, right?
I did. Yeah. Which I'll never do again.
Okay.
Maybe I won't either. I bet them on the money line. Jaguars, Titans.
Win the game and they lost the game. So yes, I have a problem with
that. But I don't put wins and losses this season on Drake May because the rest of it's so bad around him. That's fine. I'm telling you, I don't.
He's got the ball in his hands at the end of the game.
And he forced overtime, and he could have maybe won the game had they given him a chance from 2 yards out. Instead, they're like, let's give him a full
field. But he had another chance in overtime, and he failed.
Yeah, but Booty, I think, made a bigger mistake than Drake May did on that play.
Okay.
Booty quit on the play. So they could have played one more down at least.
People hear this, and they go, oh, Jones hates Drake May.
No. I know what you're doing.
Drake May's a bum. I'm just going to evaluate the games as they come. And yesterday was a winnable game. And he made a spectacular play at the end of regulation. Spectacular.
Yeah.
And you're never in overtime without him. I acknowledge all of that. I think he's going to be great. I like what I've seen out of him. But I can't ignore a game-losing turnover in overtime when he had a chance to go tie or win the game.
I still look at it where he's maybe better than I thought he was, and everyone around him might be worse than I thought. And I had a low bar. Like, I went in thinking, like, the receivers aren't good, the line's not good. They're worse. Everyone around him is worse. He has zero help. I'm trying to think of a time when there was a quarterback that was in the league that had so little around him, and that's including coaching. Like, that's all of it. And so, yeah, Tennessee also sucks. You should be able to beat Tennessee, even though they were dogs, right? Like, they were dogs, just like in Jacksonville. I thought they were going to beat Jacksonville. They were also dogs. Yep. So just because you and I think they might win, like, clearly Vegas and the betting public and sort of the national look at the game is – now, they're still as bad as the Titans are, Patriots are worse.
Yeah.
And they technically covered the spread, like, if you want to look at it that way. And eventually, I put wins on quarterbacks. Like, eventually, like, Josh Allen and Lamar and Mahomes, like, those guys, yes. But their rookie years, I'm all right. When the team is this bad, I think the good outweighed the bad yesterday for Drake May.
617-779-7937. I don't agree with that. I don't know if the good outweighed the bad. The good play was spectacular. I think he got outplayed by a bum on the other side. And so I like his future, and I love the pick, and he's my favorite quarterback in the draft. I'm not questioning the upside long term. I'm not questioning that you have the guy. I'm just saying yesterday, I think he was a part of the problem. You guys can jump in on the phones. Should the Patriots have gone for two yesterday? Big discussion on the program all day long. And their Patriots problems. They are myriad, as we've illustrated here. Are they a soft team after all? Mayo coaching soft yesterday. The team giving up way too many easy yards to Tennessee. How have they responded? After last week, all the headlines, they rallied for Mayo. They answered for Mayo. They proved they're not a soft team. Yesterday, they may have proved that they are. We'll get to it next. Poor Drake May has to go up there after the game. Instead of going for two and getting the win.
Go for two.
He's got to go up there and be like, yeah, doesn't really matter because we lost, which I agree with him on. It doesn't really matter. It's a footnote. It's a spectacular play, but it's a footnote because you lost the game. And Jerod Mayo, in some ways, did that to him.
Do you blame Drake May at all for not demanding to go for two?
I mean,
I'm kidding.
Coach,
we're going for
like
it.
Like, somewhere down the list. Sure, he's way, way, way down the list. But, like, yeah, would I like him to?
No, I know, but he can't. I mean, as a rookie, I don't think he can. But, like, in a few years from now, I'd be like, no, we're going for two. And like, okay, we're going for
well,
two.
Well, also, like,
if Josh Allen said we're going for two.
Who's
going
to be here in 2 years?
Drake May.
Yeah, right, not Jerod Mayo.
Hopefully us and Drake May. And I don't know. Who knows where
fingers,
else?
Fingers crossed.
I don't know.
Yeah.
The rest of the squad, unlikely at this point.
Yeah. So I wouldn't, I mean, just to answer your question, would I like to have seen him lobby Mayo? Yeah, I would have liked to have seen that. And from what I saw, he didn't. Maybe he did and it wasn't on camera. But that would be
just
way down my list.
I was like joking because I think he's in the spot now where he didn't start right away, which is insane, especially as you watch him play. It's insane that he wasn't out there right away. But whatever, we've moved on from that. And he's a rookie, and he's taken the coaching. He's been very complimentary publicly of Alex Van Pelt and of Jerod Mayo. That might be how he really feels. Or maybe he just is like, oh, why would I bury these guys? I'm not going to say anything about these guys. He's making the most of it right now is what he's doing.
Text line 37937, Jones and Keefe on a Patriots Friday. We'll talk to Hunter Henry. What did I say?
Friday. I know it's flown. The first hour's flown by.
I'm sorry. Patriots Monday. My mistake. That Bruins game, I'm still feeling those Coors Lights from last night. I'm not gonna lie.
Good.
37937. Drake May part of the problem because he made a mistake in overtime. Jones.
He's questioning you.
Okay.
That's what he's doing.
He can be part of the problem on my team any day.
Same texter.
You know what? I wasn't trading him. I like Drake May. I feel like I was very early on the
Jones called him
Drake
a bust
train. Yes,
you heard it here first.
Not calling him a bust. Not trading him. Just, you know, I would prefer my quarterback not to throw the interception in overtime. I don't know why that's a controversial take.
It's outrageous.
Steve is in the truck. Hello, Steve.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Adam, I'm going to disagree wholeheartedly with you.
Okay.
What down was it on the interception in overtime? Do you remember?
I thought it was first, wasn't it?
Yes, they just got a first down. So why is it his fault when the idiot calling plays is having trouble with the ball downfield? You had time on the clock. You just got a first down.
Okay.
Why don't you work first downs? You're going to get an injury.
Steve,
first of all,
Steve, Alex Van Pelt stinks. I agree. You don't blame Drake May at all on that read and that play?
No, I don't.
Not at all?
Because if Kendrick Bourne does not fall down on that play, that safety's nowhere near him. And okay. He doesn't make the interception.
I've seen that text a lot, Keith, about Kendrick Bourne. Who was the ball intended for? I don't think it was intended for Bourne.
No, he's saying, but if Bourne didn't fall down, maybe the safety's in a different position,
right. Is
what he's saying.
The safety's
okay.
Not in that area.
No, it was thrown to Booty, and Booty just quit on the play.
Yeah, was it a good throw?
Right. And the other thing is going for 2 points, right? Yes. I agree they should have gone for 2 points, but they had to play like Houdini ball to get in the end zone. What makes you think they were going to get a 2-point conversion anyway?
Well, no, I
doubt they would have made it.
But I would take the same argument. If they needed that to get a touchdown, what chances did you have them on a full field in overtime?
Right.
Like you needed a near miracle.
You
got
to go 70 in overtime. And so you could just go 2 and win it at the end of
regulation. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, no, I get that logic.
I take the exact same argument about the you needed to pull a rabbit out of the hat to score to go down 1. How confident could you really feel in the offense overall to run what was called, execute it for 70 yards? Also, you might have to mix in a defensive stop as well, which was hit or miss on the day.
I just
go for 2.
I don't know many other quarterbacks in the league where we don't blame them for throwing picks. We blame everybody else for them for throwing picks. And so that's a little annoying. I like Drake May. I'm high on Drake May. I'm not moving off.
I don't know if anybody has a worse supporting cast in the league.
Yeah, that's true.
So that's part of it to me. I kind of grade on a curve.
But Jacoby Brissett had the same supporting cast and the same play caller last week, and he got in the end zone against a better defense.
Yeah, okay. I mean, well, Drake May got in the end zone. It's not like he didn't get in the end zone yesterday. No, I guess not in overtime, but I don't know. I think Jacoby Brissett's performance last week was better than this
one? No, I don't. Okay. I'm just saying, like, it's possible to do it with the supporting cast is my only point. Mm. And so when he throws the pick, I'm not going to blame the supporting cast. The supporting cast around him is terrible, definitely.
It stinks.
It's really bad.
It's awful. I hate watching
But, I mean, I don't know. Jacoby Brissett figured it out last week. He figured it out against the Bengals.
No, but so you and I disagreed even at the very beginning of the season where you had like a win total in mind that you wanted them to hit. Whereas for me, it was just about the development. And for this year,
okay,
I think you're going to have
I
moments.
I agree with all that, but okay. We also thought they were going to win the game yesterday.
I thought they were going to win yesterday's game.
We thought Tennessee was a winnable game.
I thought that'd be the
and
only game
lost.
They win the rest of the way.
And
yeah.
They lost.
Yeah, yeah. But just because it's winnable doesn't mean they're going to win.
Okay,
like
but we both
3.5-point dogs.
We both picked them to win.
I lost hams. I lost multiple hams on
but
this.
But you thought they
I'm
were going to win.
I'm still reeling from the ham
and
loss.
And they lost.
I understand.
Okay, but I'm just saying.
But I think if I had to make a list of reasons why they lost, I know what the last
for the year.
Yeah, but I know what the last play of the game was,
yeah.
Drake May throwing an interception. But if you had to make a list of players that were at fault for losing the game, he would be much lower on my list than a bunch of other guys.
I agree with that.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, but then now let's take his game on balance. And it's like, did I love his game yesterday? No, he's the least of their problems. But did I love his game yesterday? I didn't.
Yeah, or the turnovers aren't ideal, but I still think he had a good game. I mean, he ran for 95 yards. That's pretty good.
No, that part I like.
300 of the 315 yards or whatever the number is insane.
That
like,
part
I thought
that
I was good, yeah.
You know, the turnovers and
yeah.
Even
I mean, they don't even get to overtime
40,
if he doesn't have one of the highlights of the whole weekend.
41 attempts to barely break 200 yards. That's Mac Jones stuff is what that is. I know he's much more explosive, has a much better arm, but like, that's a Mac Jones kind of line.
Oh, the numbers.
Where it's just check down, short throw. And some of that's on Van Pelt. But like, I would criticize Mac for that line. It takes you 41 throws to get to 200 yards.
Yeah.
LJ is in the car. Go ahead, LJ.
Hey, guys. Yeah, for two things. First, first of all, Drake May, he needs to start sliding more or he's going to have a short career. He's taken on way too many guys head on. I know he's aggressive. He's going for the yards, but that's got to stop. Secondly, Jerod Mayo's got to go. This is two times now. I'm pissed off. The Seattle game, remember that game, second game of the season, overtime. They had a 4th-and-1, I think around their 40. Could have gone for it. Gone for the first down. They punt away. Seattle scores, wins the game. I'm tired of his conservativeness. I think Bob Kraft has got to do whatever he can. Open the vaults up. He's got to get Ben Johnson here. We need an offensive-minded coach.
Nice.
Mayo's got to go. That's it. I'm tired of him, and this team is going to flounder until they address the head coaching situation. Thanks, guys. I'll hang up and listen.
All right, LJ. That would be nice.
If they got Ben Johnson,
yeah,
I'd be in.
But
I don't think it's going to happen.
Again, Kraft is the problem in this because
yeah.
Mayo is Kraft's guy.
So I saw this. Somebody tweeted this, and So I didn't see it. So I don't know if they were just kind of wishing this into existence. I don't know if anybody else caught it. But was Jonathan Kraft spotted in the owner's box saying go for two?
You asked me this off the air.
So
I hadn't
seen
that.
Nick, do you have any idea? Was that a thing?
I didn't see this.
All right. Well, maybe I got catfished or bamboozled or something. But I think somebody did say that happened. And if that's the case.
Eric shunned.
I might have gotten Eric shunned on that. So. But if that's the case, right, like one of the reasons why Mayo got the job and one of the reasons why I think Mayo's going to keep the job is because of his relationship with the Crafts. But if this is now another thing that we're like, how did you not go for two there? Like if they start questioning him more and more, like, all right.
Well. Again, 70% of your fan base agrees with the two of us. They should have gone for two at the end of regulation. So you can jump in on all that, 617-779-7937. By the way, head coaches continue to get fired around the NFL. It was Saleh a couple of weeks ago. It's now Dennis Allen on top of it. We talked about the odds of Jerod Mayo getting fired last Friday. He had the second highest odds, according to BetAG. A guy lower than him on the list just lost his job. And so I don't think it's unheard of. Dennis Allen wasn't in his first year in New Orleans. Neither was Saleh.
No.
But I don't think it's unheard of. Coaches get fired after 1 year. And when the whole fan base is criticizing him for his decision at the end of regulation, it does get more on the owner's radar. There's no doubt about it.
And Allen, a little bit different. Allen won his first two games this year and then lost seven straight.
Yep.
So Jerod won his first game, then lost six, then won a game to reset things, and now lost again.
That was the magic number? Seven's the magic number?
If you lost that seventh in a row,
you're
pack
out.
Your stuff.
It's auto.
Yeah.
It's now
he's safe.
Written into his deal.
He's all right.
617-779-7937. Patriots Monday, not Friday.
That's right.
Here on Jones and Keefe. You can jump aboard. With all of our discussions, what did you think of Drake Maye yesterday? Should they have gone for two? Let's get into Alex Van Pelt and his play calling. How big of an issue is that? I know a lot of you feel strongly about it. We'll get to it next.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.